Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Man, I feel like we've already had church. That was unbelievable. I feel like I should just give the mic back to Jeff. That was unreal. Praise God. You're such a champion, dude. Like, you've been living this life ever since the first day I met you. And you think God's taking you to the pinnacle. God's only, you're still at the floor. Like, what you used to look at as your ceiling is now your floor. And God's just going to continue to take you higher and higher because you're a man of integrity. You do what you say you're going to do. You trust God. You step out in faith and give what you are saving up for your house. Like, get around that guy. If you're a marketplace person, or if you're human, get around him. I wanted to just share before we sit down another testimony for you, Jeff. Today, as we were leaving the 12 o'clock service, Dustin Wilson was telling me about how you had shared a message last week, which was that message you just shared about the sign on the thing, and he was thinking about you as he was praying for three people that got saved today at the 12 p.m. service that told him the reason they came into the building is because they were driving by and they saw the sign. So he wanted me to tell you that. So God bless you, man. God bless you. You can be seated, punch your neighbor, then pray for him. I also want to just thank Paul Anderberg over here. I swear, it doesn't matter what service I'm at, he's playing the guitar. Last weekend, I was down at South Campus. He was there with his wife. This morning, all three services, he was here. I show up tonight, he's here again. And he's a great marketplace guy, too, but he comes here and he serves and he serves and he serves. And at the 10, I think it was a 10 o'clock service, I was just talking to him in between songs, and he was just like smiling and happy and pumped to be here and saying how much fun he's having. So I just wanted to tell you, I'm so grateful for you, man. You're such a champion. Keep doing what you're doing. And we love you. We love you and your wife. You guys are amazing. Well, hey, how many people were even alive in 1990? Whoa, more than I thought. Most of you probably wouldn't really remember 1990, but you were probably around. I want to tell you a quick story about what happened in 1990 that was kind of a historic time for the United States of America. It was in 1990 that Saddam Hussein, the dictator of Iraq, was in power. And it was in that time when he ordered his army across the border into tiny little Kuwait, this little oil country, and thus started the Gulf War. Some of you might remember the Persian Gulf War. And the United States had provided massive military aid to Iraq during their 8-year war with Iran, giving them the fourth largest army in the world. So because of the United States' support of Iraq, they were actually a very formidable enemy because we had armed them. And so Kuwait was a major supplier of oil to the United States, as I just said, and Iraqi takeover posed an immediate threat to neighboring Saudi Arabia, who was another major exporter of oil. President Bush, the first Bush, who succeeded President Reagan, stated simply this, that this will not stand. I like that. Some Christians need to just stop taking fire from the enemy and say, this will not stand. In the last months of 1990, the United States participated in the defense of Saudi Arabia in a deployment known as Operation Desert Shield. You guys might remember this. I was a freshman in high school. The United States sent over 500,000 American troops to be placed in Saudi Arabia in case of an Iraqi attack on the Saudis. So when all the forces were in place, the United States issued an ultimatum to Saddam Hussein, and they said, leave Kuwait by January 15th, 1991, or face a full attack by multinational forces. January 15 came and went with no response from the Iraqis, no response from Saddam Hussein, and the next night, Desert Shield became Desert Storm. Bombing sorties, including smart bombs and Tomahawk missiles, pummeled Iraq's military targets for the next several weeks. Now, a sortie is an attack from troops coming out of a position of defense. So they were in Desert Shield in a place of defense, but then they started to launch sortie attacks, sortie missions, which means troops coming out of defense into offense, out of defense into offense. On many days, there were over 2,500 such missions launched. And with the technology of the United States, with our stealth fighter bombers, they were virtually invisible to the Iraqis. They couldn't see them coming. The air assault overwhelmed, destroyed, and crippled the Iraqi military and their ability to communicate. Iraq responded by launching a few Scud missiles at the American military barracks in Saudi Arabia and Israel. And then on February 24th, the ground war began. So the 2,500 sortie missions per day was all an air assault, a barrage of air assaults on the Iraqis. But, you know, just 5 weeks later, finally, the ground war began. And although the bombing lasted 4 weeks, American ground troops declared Kuwait liberated just 100 hours after the ground attack was initiated. You may remember General Norman Schwarzkopf and General Colin Powell. They became household names as citizens watched their direction of the conflict, also known as the Persian Gulf War. And so Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell became famous because that was really the first war that you could actually watch on TV. If you were old enough to watch TV back then, you would have seen, like, on CNN and all of the networks, you could actually see our fighter jets bombing and missiles shooting into Iraqi territory and bombing and crippling the military of Iraq and Saddam Hussein. And we eventually, you know, overthrew them and you know, freed and liberated Kuwait from the enemy, which is Iraq, and we protected the Saudis. And I love that story, and I don't know, well, I know now why God took me to that story this week, because I feel like Christians need to have that attitude at times, that this will not stand anymore. The United States has overwhelming firepower. Our military is second to none in the world. Did you know that there is no power that is greater than the power of God in our lives? We have access to overwhelming firepower at our disposal, yet sometimes we don't actually take advantage of that. I think Christians need to start taking advantage of overwhelming firepower against the enemy to liberate people from the enemy. We need to get aggressive. We need to get violent. Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We need to get violent in the spirit realm. We need to get aggressive in the natural realm. We need to get out of Desert Shield and into Desert Storm. The title of my message tonight is Kingdom Storm. It's Kingdom Storm because we can't stand back and just shield what ground we've already taken, what ground we've already possessed. We actually need to get into a Kingdom Storm mindset and start to invade and take more territory. We need to overwhelm principalities and powers that have for so long reigned in this region. We need to have a Kingdom Storm type of a mindset. And so, is anybody ready to get into a Kingdom Storm kind of a mindset? I want you to consider this tonight, an invitation for you to get involved in what we are doing at C3 San Diego. We want to enlist you. We are building an army of people, an army of soldiers, an army of troops that are willing to advance the kingdom, to do whatever it takes to see the gospel advance. We want to enlist you. And I am convinced of this. I am convinced that unless we raise our hand and say, God, here I am, use me, unless we are willing to serve, unless we are willing to volunteer, unless we are willing to get involved, we will not see a move of God. We will not see the ultimate power of God released in our city or released in our lives. You have to be willing to serve. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes. You have to be willing to get involved. The United States is the most powerful nation in the world. We have access to bombs, to missiles, to guns, to ammunition, to ships, to subs. There's no nation like our military. And in fact, in Desert Storm, it was proof that what Ronald Reagan was doing, as he was building up the army and the military during his 8 years in office, and building up all that military power, and then it was used with precision in Desert Storm. And so all of that power that Ronald Reagan built up ended up being a very useful thing in Desert Storm. We have the most powerful military in the world. The only way that you can experience and see that power up close is if you volunteer to serve in the military. That's the only way. That's the only way. If you want to see and experience that kind of a power, you got to put your hand up and say, get me in that battle. Put me in. I want to be in on the front lines. Unless you're the unfortunate one who may be on the receiving end of an attack by the United States military. I wouldn't want to be on that end. But it's only those who volunteer to serve in the military that will see and experience that overwhelming power of God, or overwhelming power of the United States. And some of these soldiers, they go in knowing that they may take some fire. They go in knowing, they sign up knowing that there may be war in their future. But they sign up because they're willing to fight for something that is greater than themselves. They're willing to fight for a greater cause than just themselves. And so they go in, and some of them die. Some of them give their life for the United States of America. But you know what? I've never actually talked to a family member of a soldier that has passed that would say that they weren't willing to do that, that they didn't go in knowing what they were going in for. They were willing to give their lives for a greater cause, and they were willing to give their lives to see the ultimate power of the United States of America. And they were willing to take fire. They were willing to take fire for a greater cause. I heard it said that you're not really living unless you find something to die for. You're not really living unless you find something to die for. Is there a greater cause than Jesus Christ? Is there a greater cause than seeing the gospel advance? Is there a greater cause? Did you know Jesus thought you were a great enough cause to die for? He gave his life for you. Because he thought that you were a great enough cause to die for. The reality is the world is a mess. We have sexual confusion that is just at a whole new level. We have violence everywhere. We have racial division. We have the most influential people in the world coming out and speaking and further dividing the United States of America. We have poverty. We have psychopaths killing people. The world is kind of a mess. Would you agree? It's not all bad, but it seems like every week something else comes up. And the only answer is Jesus. The only answer is the church. The only way that things are going to come back into order if we get out of kingdom shield mindset and into kingdom storm mindset. That's the only way. Because it's no different than in the Bible. The world's been jacked up for a long time. It goes in and out of being jacked up. Psalms 11 verse 3 in the Amplified says this. If the foundation of a godly society are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations of a godly society are destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is David talking. Well, the first thing that we need to remember is that God is still on the throne. No matter how bad it gets in your world or in the world, God is still on the throne. The reason that's important is because if he's still on the throne, anything can happen. Psalms 29, 10 and 11 says, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. So as long as the Lord is on the throne, we can take comfort in the fact that he will give us strength and that he will give us peace, and that if he's on the throne, anything can happen. What we can't do is back up. What we can't do as a church is back up. A lot of Christians would say that we need to disengage with culture because it's so bad, that the end is coming, so we might as well just disengage. But that's not the mindset of Kingdom Storm. Kingdom Storm mindset, no, let's go and engage. Let's go and be the influence in culture. Let's go take ground in culture. Let's come into the church and train, then go out there and set the world free, set the captives free. That's our approach.
That was God's approach. His approach, when he looked down and he saw that the world was a mess, was to bring heaven to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. So his answer to a chaotic world was to bring heaven to earth in the name of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus has given you and I the authority to bring heaven to earth as well? And that's the answer. That was his answer, so that should be our answer. And Jesus came to earth, and he didn't come, though, with an arsenal of weapons. They were expecting the Messiah to come with, you know, like tanks and F-18 fighter bomber jets. But he didn't come with an arsenal of weapons. He came with a strategy to serve. He didn't come with weapons. He came to serve. Mark 10, 43 to 46 says this. It says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you," and so Jesus has no problem with you becoming great, "you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be the first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." So Jesus had a strategy to fix the chaotic world, and that was to come into the world and serve, not be served. You would have thought he would have come with, you know, hundreds of thousands of angels all decked out in military protection and machine guns, but he came as a servant. It's really amazing when you think about it. He came as a servant, which tells me that serving is never a step back, but it's always a step up. If you want to be elevated in your career, if you want to be elevated in the church, if you want to be elevated in your life, we have to learn how to serve. That is the pathway to elevation, is serving. We have this saying in our internship, and it says this: the greatest reward is reserved for those willing to pay the highest price. That's where the greatest reward is. And it's no different if you just look in the life of Jesus. He came to serve. He came to love. He came to give his life. He paid the highest price, and God gave him the highest reward, the name that is above every name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So because Jesus came as a servant, God elevated him and his name to the greatest name, the Bible says, in the heavens, in the earth, and beneath the earth. Those who are willing to pay the highest price will receive the greatest reward. We will not see the power of God in our city or in our lives unless we are willing to serve, unless we're willing to volunteer. This is what it says in Psalms 110, verse 3. It says, "Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power." Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. The Amplified Version says, "Your people will offer themselves willingly to participate in your battle in the day of your power." I'm convinced that if we're not seeing the power of God in our lives and in our city and in our church, it's because we don't have enough people lifting their hands and willingly entering into the battle, willing to put themselves in harm's way, willing to take some fire to see people liberated, to see people set free. And I'm not trying to get you tonight to, you know, manipulate you to come and serve on a team here at C3. Like, we're struggling so bad, I'm not trying to manipulate you to do that. Do we have needs? Absolutely. We're launching an East Campus. We're launching an East Campus, and I'm believing, and we're believing there's probably going to be a couple of hundred people at least going from Central Campus to East. Some high-level people that are carrying some serious weight. What does that mean? That means we got needs. We got rooms to fill. We got kids' church. We got parking. We got worship. We got whatever. We got everything. There's opportunities for you to step up and to serve. But that's not why I'm speaking this message tonight. I'm speaking this message because the Bible says that your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. I want you to experience the power of God in your life. That's what happened to me. When I got to this church, I just said, "Pastor Jurgen, what is it that you need?" And they said, "You need somebody in the parking lot." So I went and served in the parking lot. I went and served in the parking lot. And I just would serve, and I would just do whatever it is. And I got to tell you, I saw the power of God move in my life. I saw the power of God move in my career. God shifted my desires. I never wanted to be in ministry. I never even thought about it. But because I was serving, God was able to work on me. He was able to elevate me, and he just took me from one step to the next until all of a sudden I was on staff at a church doing a career I never thought I would do, but now I can't imagine doing anything different. I was born for this. This is what I love. But it was because I just put my hand up that I see the power of God, not only in my life, but in so many other people's life. I put myself on the front lines. And when you put yourself on the front lines, you might take some fire, but it's only on the front lines where you're able to see and experience the power of God and what he's doing. It's amazing. I know Colin Higginbottom at his church, when he was in Washington, he put his hand up to serve. And he started serving, and he was going all out. And God shifted his desires, shifted him from wanting to be a youth pastor into wanting to be a marketplace giant. But it was because he was serving in the house, because he had a position of serving, did God move in his life? Did God begin to shift his life? And now look at him. He's flourishing in the marketplace. He's influencing influencers. His company's blowing up. Why? Because he had a posture of serving. That's it. That's it. God can use people that are willing to do anything. If you're willing to do anything, God will let you do something. None of that would have happened if I didn't put my hand up. Everything we do should glorify God. Everything we do, that's what the Bible says. Do everything as unto him. So everything we do should glorify God. And everything we do in the kingdom is voluntary. God doesn't make you do anything. We don't make you do anything. God's not going to make you cut your hair a certain way, wear a weird robe or a beekeeper's outfit or whatever. He's not going to make you do that. He's not going to make you go door to door. It's a voluntary kingdom. Everything we do should glorify God, but everything we do in the kingdom is voluntary. We need people to fit into the body where God has called you and gifted you to fit. There's all kinds of different positions. One of the positions that we don't talk about much is the position of a marketplace person, like Jeff Q. We need people that are know that they're gifted in the marketplace to lift up their hand and say, God, here I am. We need people that are gifted in the areas of government, in the areas of arts and entertainment, athletics, in media, in education, in business, in finance, in medicine. We need people that are gifted in all of these areas to put up their hand and say, God, use me in this area. How do you use me in this area? I feel called to this area. I feel called to the government. God, use me here. Use me here. We need those kind of people. We need people willing to go into influential spheres of the marketplace with a strategy to impact people. Not just go to work from 9 to 5 and then come to church and lift their hands. We need people Monday through Friday to influence, that were willing to give their life and cultivate their gift, to raise the level of their gifting, to raise the level of how they treat people in the marketplace, to raise their level of gifting so they can impact and influence more people. We need people who are willing to hear from God, to innovate, to create in the marketplace, to invent, to encourage, to start companies. We need every person here to be on board if we want a kingdom storm, if we want to get in a kingdom storm mindset. That's what we need. We need it in every part. We're not all called to full-time ministry. I'm glad I was, because that's where my desire is, but we all aren't. We aren't all called to be working for the church full-time. We are all called to be in full-time ministry. The ministry of reconciliation is what the Bible calls it. So we're all called for that. And the Bible says that in Ephesians 4 that you come into the house of God, and it's the job of the pastors and the leaders to train the saints to go do the work of the ministry. Why? Because out there is where people that don't know Jesus are. It seems so simple. It's like, it seems so simple. We also need people who will voluntarily give. If we want to see San Diego County, if we want to see 16 locations, we're developing right now a giving team. Because everything we do in the kingdom is to glorify God, and it's voluntary. So we're going to start developing a giving team. There are some people in here right now that your gifting is giving. In Romans 12, one of the motivational gifts from God is generosity. A lot of those same people are very gifted in generating large amounts of wealth. And so they give a lot because they can generate a lot of wealth. That might be you. These are all voluntary roles that you can either choose to partake in or not. It's not just, but I actually think we can do both. I actually think like Jeff Q, we can dominate in the marketplace, then we can come into the house of God and give our life in the house of God as well. I think we can do both. And at the same time, we can give. We can do all of that stuff. Did you know the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, did you know that Bible scholars say that he supported up to 20 people in his entourage with his business as he's preaching the gospel all over the world, as he's raising the dead, as he's laying hands on sick people, as he's prophesying, as he's operating in the gifts of the Spirit in the church and outside of the church? Isn't that amazing? Philemon was so wealthy that he offered his house so that they could have a home church there. There would have been one less church had Philemon not been a marketplace guy. But he had a church in his house. And so we can all be a part of what we're doing. We can all take part in Kingdom Storm. I wanted to talk about a testimony I heard with the My City crew. And I'd like to invite the worship team up as well. And so we need all kinds of people. We need people that voluntarily pray. There are people gifted to intercede. There are people gifted to pray. So that's called an air attack. That's called an air attack. So we need people that cultivate, that accept that responsibility, that gifting, and start to pray. We need ground troops. We need soldiers. We need volunteers. We need people that are willing to do the hard work, the groundwork, take territory, possess land, execute the vision, serve face to face, one person at a time, one city at a time, one friend at a time, one family member at a time. Don't just give away your responsibility and act spiritual and say you're just going to go pray at home. We need people to do both. We need people to do everything. We need people to actually just go out there. Don't just, you know, not get involved and stay your home praying. Come on. There's a spiritual and a natural element to everything that we do. My city did 60 assemblies just a few weeks ago in secular high schools all over San Diego County. 60 assemblies in secular high schools all over our city. And if you would ask Pastor Brad and David and the team, how did that happen? This is what they would tell you. Correct me if I'm wrong. No, I know this is what they would tell you. That they started off with prayer meetings with a barrage of air attacks. They started prayer meetings within themselves. They started prayer meetings on campuses because previously those schools were closed to us. So they started to pray. They started to unleash air attacks, stealth attacks. The teachers, the faculties, the principals, the students didn't know what was coming. They couldn't see it, but they felt a shift in their heart. The Bible says in Colossians 4, 2-3, that continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word. So those air attacks tore down walls. Those air attacks shifted principals' hearts so that they would let us in. And now we sent in the ground troops, the volunteer team, the My City team. We sent in the students. We sent them in. We sent in speakers and communicators into all of these different high schools. In conjunction with the air attacks, in conjunction with the ground troops, we had the giving team. Vision builders, a part of vision builders, goes to missions. We feel like high schools in San Diego is a mission. And so all of you that were giving voluntarily to vision builders, I want to thank you because it was because of you that we could have 60 different assemblies, that we could fly people all the way over from New Zealand to get into high schools to see the power of God move. We saw the power of God move. If we didn't have all of those teams functioning together, we would not have had 60 assemblies in our high school reaching over 30,000 students. We wouldn't have had it. It would have never happened. But because we had people that were willing to volunteer, put their money where their mouth is, you're a smart person if you give into the house of God. The Bible says, remember that it is I, Deuteronomy 8:18, that has given you the power to get wealth, to establish my covenants in the earth. You're a smart person if you realize that the greatest thing that you can do with your money is give it purpose. Because when you give your money purpose, God will continue to give you the power to go get it. He will give you the power. You will see the power of God move in your financial world. The government, the military, gets funded by taxes. But the kingdom is funded by volunteers willing to sacrifice the hard-earned money that they have earned. It's a sacrifice, but it's a very, very smart sacrifice. So because of this incredible example of all of these teams and all of these people volunteering, I want to tell you a testimony. There was this young lady on a Monday. Monday was the first time that we had the assemblies. We had it at this major high school in San Diego. And the Sunday before, and this is this girl telling the story to one of the speakers. The Sunday before, this girl told God that if he didn't show up in 24 hours, she was going to take her life. Her sister had committed suicide just a few years before, and because her parents were pastors or whatever the scenario was, she felt shame and guilt, and she couldn't really grieve in this situation. She didn't feel like she could for whatever reason, and the pain got to a point where she said, God, if you don't show up in the next 24 hours, I'm going to take my life. And as she's telling this to one of the speakers and the communicators that we had, she said, and then you guys showed up. For some reason, the speaker that day said that, man, it was like the Holy Spirit was drawing her towards the subject of suicide. It was like she had to hit on this subject where she normally probably wouldn't have, or at least not spend as much time there. But because we had volunteers that said, here I am, we were able to experience the power of God, because my people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. And so she goes to this girl. She goes to this girl who says, thank God you showed up. And they got to pray with her. And they got her into counseling. And it's not only her. It's not only her. There's been others that have come forward because of what happened with her that are now in counseling and getting healing, because we have people that were willing to volunteer, that were willing to get involved. We had a young lady saved because of that. Incredible. And now we have high schools all over San Diego that are open to us, that want us back, that want us to come back. It's incredible. But Jesus didn't just come to serve. He came to pick a fight with the enemy. Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. He didn't just come to serve everybody. He came to serve people, but he came to destroy devils. 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus didn't just come to serve, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And he didn't do that with earthly power, he did that with heavenly fire power. He had a kingdom storm mindset. He didn't just come passively to serve. He came on assignment to destroy the works of the devil. That is our assignment here at C3 San Diego. We have to have a spiritual attack. We have to have a barrage of air assaults. We have to come out of a protective position and into an offensive position. But to do that, we need power. To do that, we need supernatural power. Just like heaven came to earth in the name of Jesus, we need to bring heaven to earth. The power of God. As we continue to volunteer, you will see the power of God come. But I want you to know tonight that if you haven't received power, tonight you're gonna have an opportunity to receive power, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power, just like Jesus was, just like all the disciples were, just like a lot of us are here tonight. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like being baptized with power. You will start to see the gifts that God has given you magnify. I shared this at the 12 o'clock service only, but today, just this past week, we had a young lady in our church who came into our office, and she was diagnosed with cancer some months ago, actually a couple of years ago. And as she came into our church, she found that over about a period of 6 months, I don't even know if there was a specific time, but after a period of about 6 months, she ended up getting healed because her mindset changed. She ended up getting healed from cancer. she found that cancer just kind of, you know, it can't really stay in the presence of God. And so it just kind of started to leak out. She was still in some pain, but the cancer was gone. And so she was still kind of dealing with this. Well, just a couple of months ago, or maybe even a month ago, she was went into the doctor to just get a checkup or whatever. And they found that some cancer had come back. Some cancer had come back. And of course, she was you know, freaked out. She was scared. They doubled her medication. And she wasn't feeling well. And so she had to stop doing some of the things that she was doing to take care of herself. And as she told us this story, I was sitting in the room with Pastor Shauna and Pastor Michaela. We said, well, when are you going to be getting checked next? Because I like it when there's a checkup soon so that I can hear what happens. I hate it when I have to wait a long time. And so we asked her. And she said, actually, I'm going to get checked today. Right from church, she was going to go get checked that day. And so I'm happy to report to you that we got a text message this week saying that when she went to the doctor didn't find a smidgen of cancer anywhere in her body, that she was completely healed because we have people that know how to pray, because we have people that have received power, and now she's cancer-free. Her healthy cells are generating and multiplying at a speed that she said she couldn't have been happier with the result. It's called the power of God. Jesus came to destroy sickness. He came to destroy devils. He came to destroy oppression. He came to invade enemy territory and set people free. And set people free. God is calling all of us to get involved. I would expect all of us to get involved. There's a serve table out there on your way out, but we're not done. Don't leave. We're not done. But we should all get involved. We should all take part in what we're doing at C3 San Diego. God is calling you. God is calling you. He wants to enlist you in Kingdom Storm. The question is, are you going to answer? Will you answer the call? You only get one chance in this life. Is the cause of Jesus Christ great enough to activate you? Is it great enough? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to pray for a few people that maybe you're here tonight and you've never actually answered the call. The reason you're here tonight is because God has been trying to get to you. The greatest thing that we can do as people is voluntarily ask Jesus into our life. That's the beginning of it all. That's the beginning of everything. So if that's you tonight, if you've maybe never invited Jesus into your life, you may have heard the term being born again. If you've never been born again, if you're not sure if you left tonight and died, if you would go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you're not sure about that, tonight is your night to confirm your place in heaven forever in eternity with the one that created you. So right now, if that's you, if you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe one time you did a long time ago, but you've kind of taken your life back, you feel far from God. Right where you are with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just lift your hand right where you are so that I can pray for you? Is there anybody like that in here tonight? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you back there to my left. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? God bless you, ladies. I see that hand. God bless you, buddy. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Is there one more person that I can pray for tonight? God bless you. I see that hand back there. Amen. 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 There was maybe like six people that raised their hand. And I would love it. Why don't you guys look at me? I would love it if those six or seven people that lifted their hands, if I could ask you to do one thing. Because there were six or seven of you, I can't get to all of you, but I do want to pray for you. And I do want to help you invite Jesus, the creator of the universe and the creator of you, come into your life and become your Lord and Savior. So the whole church is going to stand up. The worship team is going to sing a song. And I would love it if you would just come down as I get off the stage and allow me to pray with you right here in the front. Come on down. Come on down, little man. Come on down. Come on down, buddy. Come on down. Forevermore, forevermore.
Amen.
Look at you lovely ladies. It's ladies' night. Oh, and one stud. Here we go. Come on. I'm so proud of all of you guys. You guys are here for the first time. I'm so proud of you. God's been after you, hasn't he? Well, he's found you tonight. I'm so proud of you. Thanks to your daughter. Oh, how sweet. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we're going to pray a quick prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd love it if everybody would repeat after me, especially you guys up here. It's just a simple prayer. Just say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today, help me start to live a life that glorifies you in all that I do. Lord Jesus, tonight, I declare that heaven is my home, that God is my Father, and I am his child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give yourselves a hand. I'm so proud of you guys. Incredible. Good job, man. Well done. How old are you? He's 12. Isn't it amazing? I feel like 12 years old. That's when we first meet Jesus in the Bible. It's amazing. There's a lot of boys that get saved at 12. I don't know if there's something to that, but anyway, you're a champion, man. I know you got cool shoes, too. Well, hey, this gentleman right here, he is a champion. Tyler, why don't you guys go with him just for 2 minutes? We've got a Bible for you and a little book called Following Jesus that will help you on your journey. So if you guys would do this, if you would turn to your right and my left and just follow him into that response now, just for 2 minutes, some of the best people in our church are right behind you. And we're going to give you a hand as you go. Amen. Come on, let's give him a hand. Amen. Incredible. 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 Well, hey, we got still have some work to do tonight. And I want to pray for a few people. The first lot of people that I want to pray for are those of you who maybe have never received power. Those of you who have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power. You've never spoken in tongues. You've never operated in healings and miracles or prophetic words or heard from God. I want to pray for you. So if that's you, feel free to come down to the front. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then we're going to see the Holy Spirit come upon your life. So if that's you, come right over here. It's got to be a few of you. Come on down. Yay. Awesome. Awesome. Good job. Good job. Amen. Amen. Come on down, man. A lot of people told me growing up that the Holy Spirit and that the power of God wasn't for today. It wasn't for today's Christianity. And then I got healed. God healed my kidneys. And so now when people say that, I let them know that they're a little bit too late, like I've already experienced it. Testimonies trump, like Jeff Hughes said. And so I want that same power to come on you guys. And it's really simple. The Bible says that all we have to do is ask for the Holy Spirit, and God will give it to you. So I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer. And then the Holy Spirit is going to come on your life. And then all you have to do, as a sign, when the disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit and with power, they started to speak in tongues. They started to speak in languages that they'd never learned before. And so to do that, you have to actually speak. You have to actually, by faith, say something. Some of you, it'll just come like that. Some of you will actually have to initiate a sound. Just whatever comes out of your, so it sounds a little bit strange, but everything that we access in the kingdom is by faith. And so we have to do something to activate this power. So I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. And I'd love it if we had a few of our team go by and just lay hands on them after they pray this prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then I'm going to do a general prayer over you, and then it's your turn to activate, by faith, the Holy Spirit in you. You guys got it? You guys got it? Come on, let's all stretch out our hands towards these brave people. I'm telling you, everything's going to change after this. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. So I want you just to repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that the Bible says that to receive the Holy Spirit, all we have to do is ask. So right now, God, I ask that you would send the Holy Spirit upon my life with power. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for these awesome people. Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come, and that you would fill every life on the altar right now, in Jesus' name. Baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire, with power in Jesus' name. Come on, start to speak. Father, right now, just start to speak. Thank you, God.
Amen. I want all of you guys who are up here today to go and practice. Get in your car, turn on the worship music really loud. That's what I do, and I just start going for it. Practice every day, and it'll start to be natural. It's like a muscle. Start to be natural. You're going to start to see that the Bible is going to open up to you. You're going to start to operate in boldness and power. And don't let the devil tell you that you didn't get it, or don't let the devil tell you that what you're saying is nonsense. It's from heaven, I'm telling you. It is powerful. So go back, make sure you practice at home, and you're going to see the power of God move in your life. I want to pray for a few people. Marky Cullen, I want to pray for you, sir. Can you come up here? I want to pray for Chris and Cheryl, but she's on the keys. Is that all right? Come on up, guys. Come on up. Is Denise here? D-Nice, is she here tonight? I haven't seen her, but I saw her this morning, no? I wanna also pray for the mentors. Where's Lindsay? There's one of them. Where's Lindsay, is she here? Oh, there she is. Awesome woman of God right there. And we'll start there. Can Cheryl come over or no? Who's in charge over here? Thank you. Cheryl, come forth.
So all of these people, God just highlighted to me today, and I just wanted to pray for you guys, just because you guys have literally given your life for the kingdom in the marketplace and in the church. And I just felt like God wanted to just refresh you. That's all. Fresh oil. So just turn your palms towards heaven. Just look to God. Come on, let's stretch out our hands, church. Father, I thank you for these awesome people, this awesome couple. There's like nobody like Lindsay. She's amazing. Her ability to see, her ability to serve with a smile on her face, her commitment to her husband, her commitment to the church, her commitment to her career. And Lindsay, I just see because you've lifted up your hand to serve, you will see the power of God released in your life. You're going to see it absolutely in the church, but you're also going to see it in your career. You're going to see God bring a shift in the career. He's put desires in your heart to move, you know, in the area of, cosmetology and makeup and all of those things. And He's gifted you for it. He hasn't gifted me to say it, but He's gifted you to do it. And so you're phenomenal in the church, but I just felt God say that there's a power, that a shift happening in your career and in the desires of the heart. He gives us the desires of our heart. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would flow into her life, that you would bring a shift in her career. Father, to the things that she's been desiring to do, Father, open doors that no man can shut. Father, I thank you for this great woman of God. Holy Spirit, I pray for fresh oil in Jesus' name, Father. And I thank you for this mighty man, servant of God, powerhouse in the marketplace, great servant on Sundays, playing the guitar all the time, serving in the music department, did our internship, gave his life. And I just declare over you right now, those who are willing to pay the highest price will receive the greatest reward. Holy Spirit, I pray right now for fresh oil on Jamin. Touch his life with power. Let him see your power. Let this new career be better than the previous one. Blow his mind in Jesus' name. Power, let it flow into his life in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the Smiths. I thank you for this great couple. I call Chris the most interesting man in the world because he is. This guy is unbelievable. He can cook. He's a business champion. He serves. He's a genius. I'm not sure how he got Cheryl, but must be doing something right. Maybe it's because you said, God, here I am. It says you said, God, here I am. And I just feel God on both of you tonight, just a refreshing coming on you. Just wants to let you know he's noticed you. He sees you. He sees you behind closed doors. He sees what you're doing in the marketplace. He sees what you're doing in the church, and he's got your back. He's got your back. He's brought you two together to do something that you couldn't do by yourselves. Cheryl is so faithful the way she serves here, and she is also a boss in real estate. So I'm telling you, church, we can do both. God hasn't just anointed us to do one. Kings and priests. That's how we're going to take San Diego. Father, right now, I pray for fresh oil on your daughter. Fresh oil. Father, I'm praying for deals. I'm praying for discernment. I'm praying for new clients, for power. Father, let it be seen mightily in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that when she plays keys, the miraculous is going to take place. Father, when she's on the phone, when she's dealing with clients, the miraculous is going to take place. It's not one or the other, it's both. Power flows into her life in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now for Chris, the most interesting man in the world. Father, I thank you that you're on his life. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in his business. You're moving in his heart. Father, that you're going to bring people into his life that he's going to be able to help get to the place where he's at. He's going to be able to pour into people. Father, move mightily with power in his life as a father, as a husband, as a businessman, as a servant of God in the house, Father, I'm praying right now, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Do something in his life you've never done before. Speak to him how you've never spoke to him before. Light a fire on the inside of this mighty man. I just see new relationships coming to you, Chris. People that don't know Christ or are kind of on the fringes, and they can relate to you because you're so gifted in so many areas. And I just see you bringing them to Christ. See you mentoring people. Power, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. I see you operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Discernment. You're going to see the miraculous. You're going to see the miraculous in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Marky Cullen, Pastor Mark. Came down from Orange County a few years ago with no agenda but to serve God. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done in his life. I thank you that you've brought him to C3 San Diego as a gift. He is a gift, one that we can all look up to and learn from and be inspired by. But Father, I know that you're not done yet. That's the word that I hear. You're not done yet with Pastor Mark Cullen, Father. He's got songs. He's got sounds. He's got words on the inside of him. Father, I thank you that his career is just getting started. Father, that his future is better than his past. Lord, that you still have power available for him to flow when he's playing, when he's singing. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, fresh oil on your son in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, touch him afresh tonight. Right through, right through, right through. Right through, right through. I see you and your beautiful wife doing things together and separately. But I just see because you have put up your hand, I just see power flowing into your life, power flowing into your marriage, into your relationships. And that is the word, that God's not done. Your future is going to be greater than your past. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name. Don't let the voices that are in your head distract you or cause doubt to come on you. Just listen to the voice of God. Father, I thank you for this mighty man in Jesus' name. Flow into his life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. I got one last altar call. And if you've been prayed for, if you wouldn't mind just heading back to your seat just for a moment, I have one more altar call. And I'd love it if Dana, Jeff, Colin, if you guys would come up and get ready to pray for people. Maddie, Rhino, Charles, if you guys would get ready to pray. I want, if you're a marketplace person and you just feel like God has got you in this place in the marketplace, but that you're kind of confused on how can you glorify God in that space? How can you take the gift that God has given you and cultivate that to glorify God, to take that next step of influence in your career? I want you to come up and I want these guys to pray for you. So come on up if that's you. If you feel God's wanting to take you to a new level of influence in your career, in your business, new insight, God wants to move on your life tonight. Come on. Come on, God's going to do a miracle in your career. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you're up here getting prayer, stay here. I just wanted to, you know, kind of release the service if you need to go pick up your kids or whatever. But before you go, I just want to one prayer over all of you. Can you all just lift your hands? Father, I thank you for these awesome people that you've assembled here at C3 San Diego. And Father, I pray that we would go from a defensive mindset to a kingdom storm mindset starting this week, starting tomorrow, Father, that we've been to church, but help us to be the church out there, outside of these four walls. Father, I'm praying for favor. I'm praying for power. Father, for those who are lifting their hands right now to put their hands up to serve in the house of God, in the marketplace, to cultivate their gift, to start to give, to start to pray. Father, I'm praying that they would see the manifest presence of God in their life, in every single area of their life. Father, I'm praying for favor this week. I'm praying for breakthrough this week. I'm praying for purpose this week. I'm praying for a new fire on the inside of people this week. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.